So the highlight of my week, typically week in and week out, or one of the highlights of my week is when I stand up here and do what I do on Sunday mornings. I enjoy being able to preach and bring God's Word each week. And it typically is very exhilarating for me. But I have to confess that last Sunday, something really happened internally to me that just doesn't happen very often. And that is when I walked up to take the pulpit last week, there was a palpable and overwhelming sensation of disconnect. It was painful in my soul. And I really struggled to get through my message last week. And I spent some time early part of the week trying to figure out what was that disconnect? Why did that happen? And you know, I could look out and blame the 30% attendance on Sunday. I could look to the fact that my small group hasn't met in person since March, and I've missed those people that I love and that I know love me. I text people on Sunday morning and I try to invite them to join us live, and some do and some respond, but most of the time I just get crickets, there's silence. I feel frustrated at the invitation time because it's just weird. I want to stand down here and I want to receive you and I want to have you come shake my hand and I want you to come and say that you need prayer and I want you to feel free to come to the altar, and there's just not a good way during the current situation to have an intimate time of response at the end of the service. There's little intimate fellowship, there's little dining out with friends, there's little ministry, there's little service opportunities going on. And I can look at all those things and I can see where my disconnect comes from. Most everybody I know, most everybody you know, is on edge. Most everybody you and I know is tired. Most everybody you and I know, and even we ourselves, are more prone to lash out at someone than to love on someone right now. Because of the politics, because of the racial issues, because of the virus issues, because of the economic issues. You know what I'm talking about. There's little to no camaraderie. There's no game night. There's no hugs. And we just ache. And I got to tell you, I was overwhelmed internally by the spirit I felt of disconnection. My preaching schedule, and this sermon in particular, has been planned since April or since August of earlier in this year. And I want to begin a series entitled Chain. You see it hanging here. We'll change it from time to time during the course of the next few weeks. But I want you to get the picture here of what this is and what's going on. And I believe that it's been a gift of God to be able to have this spirit of disconnect over the last week or so as I begin to prepare this message and this series of messages, because I want you to understand the truths of what this represents when we talk about it in the context of the church and believers. So let's establish some truths this morning. Truth number one is that believers are designed to be linked together in the church. Truth number two is that believers have a uniqueness that only makes sense when they're linked with other people. Truth number three, no one person has all the answers. Nobody has all the skills or gifts or callings or wisdom. We need each other. We need a linking together. And truth number four is that when each of us link together, we become a beautiful chain of the grace of God's purpose. The Apostle Paul didn't use the analogy of a chain. He used the analogy of the human body. He said the human body has many parts, but the many parts make up the whole body, so that it is with the body of Christ. But our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part just where He wants. Later in chapter 12, he says, God has put the church together in such a way that makes for harmony among its members, so that all the members care for each other. If one part suffers, then all parts suffers with it. If one part is honored, then all parts are glad. All of you together are the body of Christ. Let me repeat that. All of you together are the body of Christ. Repeat it with me. All of you together are the body of Christ. And each of you is a part of it. Each of you is a part of it. I would suggest to you this morning that you should be discontent at disconnection. We like to quote Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, that talks about, let us not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Preachers use that to browbeat people to come to church every week. I think the real power in that verse is what comes before that. Because before that, the writer of Hebrews says, let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm. For God can be trusted to keep His promise. Let us think of ways then to motivate one another with acts of love and good works. God has asked us to link together as a church for the gathering of believers. God has asked us to link together as a church for the going. There is a message that we take with us as we live our lives. As we go, we tell the gospel story. I am better at it when you and I are together doing it. God has asked us to link together in the church so that there is a clearinghouse for you to give of your time and of your talent and of your treasure for the local community, for the advancement of the kingdom in the local community. God has asked us to link together in church to learn how to grow. Oh my, do we resist this one? To grow as mature disciples of Christ. The church is a gift from God. Let me ask you this morning, do you see this church, your church, South Belt Church, as a gift from God? Is it special to you? Is it precious to you? And if so, do you treat it that way? If not, why not? I think those are questions we have to answer. We all know that the church is not a building, the church is not a program, but the church is an organized group of people that you choose to be committed to so that you can play on Team Jesus. That makes sense? It's a group of people that you choose to be committed to. This may surprise you, but the word church does not exist in the Old Testament. You can't find it. In fact, it doesn't even exist in the New Testament until Matthew chapter 16. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 8, Jesus is speaking and he says, he's talking to Peter. And Peter wants to know, hey, I know the people are talking about me. What are they saying? And they're all talking about what the people are saying. And Jesus says, well, they're not saying the right things. What are you saying? And Peter says, here's what I'm saying. I'm saying that you are the Christ, you are the Son of the living God. And Jesus says, ah, Peter, you get it. You understand. You understand that I am the Son of the living God. I am the Christ. And because you make such a great declaration, on that declaration, I'm going to build the church. That's the first time the word is used. It is the word ekklesia. It means to assemble the called out ones. And so what Jesus is saying is that there's going to be an organization that's going to assemble of those I have called out. It is an assembly of the called out ones. You and I have been called out. We have been called out by God, as we talked about in Romans, to be conformed to the image of His Son. An assembly. This is an assembly of links. You want a fun project this week? Do some YouTube videos on chain manufacturing. You know how this happens? It happens one red hot through the fire link at a time. It's a beautiful picture. This is what God is doing when it comes to kingdom work. All things happen through the connectedness of relationships. All of the commandments of Christ are commands that thrive in relationships. Partners are needed. You can't gather alone. If you gather alone, it's not a gathering. The going, not one person is responsible for telling the entire gospel story. It takes all of us telling the gospel story. The giving. If only one of us is giving of our time and our talent and our treasure, we're not getting much done. But collectively, if we give of our time, our talent, and our treasure, we are getting much done. And the growing. If only one of us is growing, that means the rest of us are still continuing to need our diapers changed, spiritually speaking. Jesus loves His church. And as believers, you and I need to be linked to our church. Because it's what Jesus loves. And if we're going to be conformed to His image, it's what He would ask. Let me take you back to 1 Peter. We were here last week. We've been bouncing around 1 Peter for a while now. But let me back up to the first part, early in the chapter number 2 of 1 Peter. This is the royal priesthood, holy nation passage that we looked at last week. This week I want to back up a little bit. Because Peter talks about the linkage here. As you come to Him, right? You're coming to Christ. He is the living stone. He is rejected by men, chosen by God, and precious to Him. You also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifice acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in Scripture it says, "See, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in Him will never be put to shame." Now, to you who believe, the stone is precious, but to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become a capstone, and a stone that has caused men to stumble and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God. Remember last week we talked about all those being plural? All those are plural. We'll talk about that again here in just a second. Who called you out from the darkness into this wonderful light? Once you were not a people, but now you are a people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. The statement that Peter's making here, I don't think I can impress upon you enough how exciting this news was for those that were there to hear it. To the Jewish people that heard this message, it meant that the Gentiles, for the first time, were included and accepted in helping them make God's kingdom a reality. They had partners in kingdom work. And for the Gentiles, for the first time ever, they were invited to belong. They were finally invited to link together with others for kingdom purpose. The Jews were embarking on something new. The Gentiles were embarking on something new. But as they linked together, they formed a chain of useful purpose, eternal, kingdom-oriented, making a difference in the community. You're not alone. There is structure in strength. And the church is a representation of the structure of strength. Peter's inviting Jews and Gentiles alike to join together, to link together, to change the world. No one has to go it alone. Let me impress this on you this morning. You are created for connection. You were created for connection. Individualism is often a defining characteristic and has been for a couple generations in our society and in our culture. I got this. I can pull myself up by my bootstraps. I can go it alone. I have all these followers on social media. I don't need real relationships. But then this year, something interesting happened called Corona. And Corona said, okay, you think you got this by yourself? Let me lock you down by yourself. And let's just see what you got. The science that's coming out doesn't bode well. Our own Chief Acevedo says that his police department is seeing a 70% increase in domestic violence calls since the lockdown has started. We are more irritable. The spouse and the kids driving us crazy. There's no place for us to blow off steam. I can't go to work. I can't go to the gym. I can't go to the swimming pool. Let me ask you a question, by the way. Why in the world are the swimming pools closed? Is not the swimming pool just a giant puddle of disinfectant? Lance brought that up the other day. I thought that it is. It's just a giant puddle of disinfectant. Why can't we all, we should all just be swimming. Then we started swapping Speedo pictures and it just deteriorated from there. So it wasn't a pretty sight, but it was a fascinating conversation. We're irritable. There's no place to blow off steam. Anger. We get angry. We had to make a trip to Gallery Furniture yesterday. Gallery Furniture on the north side of town is not easy to get to under regular circumstances. So I'm like, okay, they open at 8. So if we leave at 7 o'clock in the morning, we can make it up 45 around the little curly queue that goes around downtown Houston, up through the 610 interchanges both here and over there. And we should be able to get there and everything will be just fine. Oh, how wrong I was. Don't these people know that the Judge Hidalgo says you're supposed to stay home and work safe? You shouldn't be on the freeway at 7 o'clock or 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock in the morning on a Saturday when I'm trying to get the Gallery Furniture. You should all be at home. Well, they weren't. People are angry about lots of different things. But we know that we can't let that anger out, because if we let that anger out, it usually doesn't end well. And so we repress it. Here's what science tells us about repressed anger. Anger repressed is depression expressed. Anger repressed is depression expressed. We're anxious. We're fearful. We're suspicious. I was watching a football game Thursday night. Wasn't really watching. It was just kind of on for noise in the background. I was actually contemplating putting up my Christmas tree. And Debbie said, no, we're not contemplating putting up the Christmas tree. It's not even Halloween yet. And so I was pouting and just kind of sulking in my chair. But there's a TV commercial that comes on, and it doesn't show anybody's face, but it's shot from the bathroom, looking across the bathroom sink into the bedroom. And there's a man washing his hands in the bathroom sink, and you see through the bathroom door the end of the bed, and then on the other side of the bed, there's a woman whose knees and ankles and feet you see laying on the other side of the bed. And then you realize that as the commercial begins to unfold, that the man is washing blood off of his hands, and that's his wife's body laying on the other side of the bed. And then it talks about domestic violence, and if you've experienced domestic violence or if you're fearing domestic violence, please call this number. And then it started giving statistics about nationwide, it's up in triple digits. City of Houston, it's up 70% according to Chief Acevedo, but nationwide it's up into triple digits. And I thought, good grief, that's a graphic commercial. But the reason they did that and went to those extremes is because it's a real problem. Because when you isolate people and take away their connection, it brings on all kinds of trauma, isolation trauma. And isolation trauma is relationship killers. Why do you think one of the most cruel forms of prison punishment is solitary confinement? Because it wrecks these guys. Many in the mental health profession believe that the long-term and emotional, psychological effects of COVID are going to far outweigh the disease itself. They all agree that a vaccine will come someday, but that the emotional and the mental trauma that has happened just in the last 7 or 8 months will linger for generations to come. Let me tweak your theological processor for a minute. Long-term isolation is not good. You remember back in Genesis when God created? He created water and sky and light and dark and birds and fish and Adam. But even God recognized that long-term isolation wasn't good. This has always kind of perplexed me a little bit, and I've had the chance over the last month or so to process this a little bit more. But when God looked at Adam and he said, it's not good for man to be alone, my initial thought is, man wasn't alone. Man was in the garden with God. Did you ever consider that? Adam wasn't alone. Just the verse prior talked about a conversation that Adam and God had been having. Adam wasn't alone in the garden, but God said, you know what, it's not good. I'm the divine creator of the entire universe. And while you and I are in a great relationship with one another, you really need to be in a relationship with somebody who is like you. And so he created Eve. And the ramifications for that have ramifications for the family, have ramifications for husband and wife, but it also has ramifications for humanity in general. God said, you and I are in a relationship with each other, but Adam, it's not good for you to be alone. It's not good for you to be without others like you. Peter affirms this in our passage today. All the words that he uses are plural words. He said, Jesus is the chief cornerstone, but all in all, you are just another brick in the wall. To some of you, that's a really funny joke right there. I'm sorry you missed it. Jesus is the chief cornerstone, and he wants you to be one of the bricks that build the building of the kingdom of God. A brick by itself is no good. Maybe as a doorstop. One single link of chain is no good. But you mortar those bricks together, you got a building. You link these chains together. You can anchor a ship. You can pull Mike Millis's stuck tractor out of the mud. There's all kinds of things you can do with a chain. You can tighten and untighten pipe and casing on an oil well. You can make art out of this. There's all kinds of things you can do with chain, but there's not a whole lot you can do as a link. You're a building. You're a race. Not the same skin color, but you share a common ancestry, he says. Your common ancestry says you have the same father. Think about that for a minute. You can be purple with green stripes and blue polka dots and still belong to the family of God because you share the same father. You're a priesthood, which means you're an important link in kingdom work when you link to others. You are an ambassador with others to do the work of the kingdom for others. You are a nation. You are a kingdom citizen. We clarified this exponentially last week. He called you to be linked to others, not only here, but in the hereafter. As a Christ follower, you can survive without being linked to others in the church. But you can't thrive. You cannot be conformed to the image of His Son without being linked to your other brothers and sisters in Christ in the church. Staying linked to your church provides you with affection. It is a place where you can find love. It is a place where you can be loved. It is a place where you can be known by others. It is a place where you can love others. Jesus loves the church. Jesus loves you. Jesus wants you to be a part of the church. He loves the church so much so that he connected it to the intimacy of marriage. In Ephesians chapter 5, he says, husbands, you need to love your wives just as Christ loved the church. And what did he do? He gave himself up for her. Why? Because he wanted her to be holy, cleansing her with the washing of the water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church, without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. Do you love the church like Jesus loved the church? Are you linked to the church like Jesus needs you to be linked to the church? The church is a place where you can find love. It is also a place where you can love others. This is where church really gets a bad rap in a lot of cases. Because some people will come to a church and they'll think the church is all about the church pouring all of their love into them, but them never having to pour any love back out. And if you think that the church is always about you being loved all the time, you've missed the purpose. Because that's only part of it. The other part is a place where you can love other people. Your church should be a place of affection for you. You should be able to find love here, but you should also be able to pour out love here. Staying linked to your church also provides you a place of protection. Protection. This is why your small group is ridiculously important. And if you're not going to small group, you are missing out of the protection that can be provided. Those are the people that intimately know what's going on in your life and that can pray for you. Those are the people that can bring you dinner when your world is falling apart and you absolutely have no idea how you're going to face tomorrow or how you're even going to get dinner on the table for the family that night. But if you're not connected to a small group of believers in your church, you don't have a place to bring and dump and land your heavy load. You're going to try to single brick it all by yourself. You're going to try to single link it all by yourself. And what's going to happen is that you're going to ping, snap under the pressure. Your small group is a great place to find protection from the throat punch that the world sends your way on a regular basis. I do not understand why people willfully choose to stay away from small group. It baffles my mind. I literally can't function well without small groups of people in my life that help me, that hold me up, that lift me up. Places I can go and share good news with. I got some crazy good news this week. The first thing I did was I went to the little pockets of small groups of people in my life to share with them that good news. Why? Because they love me and because I love them. And because they've prayed for me when things were bad. And so when things got good, I got to be able to share the good with them. Finally, staying linked to your church also provides you a place for correction. We don't always get it right. Unfortunately, this is where the church loses people. When you and I are intimately linked to trusted people, we can tell each other the truth in love. Nobody gets it right all the time. Sometimes your life is in a rut and you can't see it. Sometimes your actions and your attitude need a check. I have told you the story through the years about my friend Bill. Bill had proven his love to me over and over and over again. Bill and I were great, trusted, respected friends. And I was in a bad place in my life, considering making bad choices. Bill took me to James Coney Island and he looked at me and he said, "Kevin, right now you're acting like an immature baby. You need to knock it off. You need to straighten up and you need to go home and fix the problems that you have created." I was angry, yes. But I also knew he was right. And that's the real reason I was mad, is because he called me out. We don't like to be called out. But he knew me, and he loved me, and he had proven that. And so when he challenged me, once I calmed down, I did the right thing. Paul does it to Peter. Jesus does it to pretty much everybody he comes in contact with. It's okay to have friends who love you enough to tell you the truth. Solomon, the writer of Proverbs, says in Proverbs 27, wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses. If somebody is enabling your bad spiritual behavior, they are not your friend. They're not. But if somebody loves you enough to challenge you to correct bad spiritual behavior, you need to embrace them with open arms of gratitude. So I made a decision after last Sunday, and that is, I wasn't going to let little round dots of red prevent me from being connected and linked to others. I'm not going to be discouraged with isolation. I'm going to use my phone not to text, but to call. I'm going to use my influence to get other people to get on board, to find ways to do and to be and to stay connected. I refuse to allow forced isolation and disconnect allow me to be a single link in the chain. When I am isolated and a single link in the chain, I am no good. And neither are you. So as we come to this time of singing an invitation, I'm going to challenge you to something this morning. I'm going to challenge you to do a personal assessment and evaluation and decide whether or not you really care about being linked to your church family or not. Maybe you just need to come and kneel at the altar and talk to your Heavenly Father about it. Secondly, I'm going to ask you if you will begin to process ways to ramp up your connections. I'm going to encourage you to reinvest in the relationships that are already there. That's the first place you have to start. Reinvest in the relationships that are already there. Pick up the phone and call somebody. Go by and ring the doorbell and talk to somebody. If they're worried about the virus, wear your mask and stand on the porch. There's a great car commercial on TV. A guy driving through the mountains, and he gets to his buddy's house, and the guy opens the door and he says, "Are you responding to my text with a personal visit?" He said, "Yep." He said, "LOL, come on in." It's a great commercial. Choose today to love your church and be connected to her. And choose today to find ways to re-engage those that are around you in a real and significant way. If you feel like acting on those, again, the altar's open. I'll be standing over here. I'll put my mask on if you want to come and pray with me. I would love that. But as the Lord leads, you stand, you sing, you pray, you respond. You choose to be linked to the kingdom this morning, would you?